Amp Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the party has just begun.
Is this live?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
live. Yeah, okay. You got mind?
You ain't gonna do nothing.
I'm
Get on him all.
Let's bang, bro.
Did you know me?
Move along, nothing to see here.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Love it. Shout out to Tony Ferguson on this one. Thank you, DJ Tony. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This one we like to call hashtag smack my picks up, hashtag down with the pickness. We are here for the big banana, as our boys from the CME like to say. And of course, if you're new to the show, we have an interview with Chad Dundas. Go back there and check that thing out in the archive. So we're almost over 400 shows. Goodness gracious. UFC 229, the big banana, Khabib versus McGregor, will be held October 6, 2018, at the T-Mobile Arena in Paradise, Las Vegas, Nevada, sorry, which is also probably right in the middle of Las Vegas. I hear that's just like a little tiny town. Anyways, we are here to do that stuff, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a big night. There was stuff to speak about the press conference and the debacle that was. We also have to get to the picks, though. Because we are a pick show, if anybody is unfamiliar with the show, this is Amp Radio's picks show. And I'm also being joined by the usual cast of characters tonight, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to go ahead and bring them in because we got a lot to talk about. And I think that this picks part is going to take up a lot of the show. So I added some news to the end if we get to it. If we don't get to it, well, we'll just do the picks. All right. Coming at us from the recovering North Carolina coastline. You know her, you love her, and if you don't know her and you don't love her, you will because she's the life of the party. Pam from North Carolina.
Hi, guys.
What's that?
I am here working. I just got off work. I got off work early and came home and finished doing my last minute fine-tuning of my fit.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes, Pam, as we like to say on the show, life gets in the way. I am also fresh off coming home from work. DJ Tony, I think, is still working through this. Oh, just gone 5 for him, so maybe he's not. Marco from Waco is, of course, at home in Waco, Texas, loving his life with his new couch, but we're going to get to that a bit later.
I know it.
Pam, we'll get to that a bit later. Of course, we've got the winners and losers from we're not doing it yet because it was, it was super close. It's the closest we've ever been, I think. Super close. Anyways, we'll get to that later. Maybe before we get to the news because we really need to get to this press or to this card, guys, because it's, supposed to be the biggest card in history, Pam. Did you notice that Dana White is saying it's going to be the biggest pay-per-view in history? But I digress. Mm-hmm. Let's get to the big boss man himself, my friend, coming at us from the mean streets. Danville, California. Play your music.
It's Tony time, bitches!
Guys, I am going to break cover here and say it might have been close last week, but it certainly wasn't with my picks. That's for darn sure.
You had a horrible, horrible week.
Thank you, dummies.
That's what I guess.
Anyways, that's fine. I love the music. Thank you very much, DJ Tony. For anybody who's been paying attention to the show, they'll know. And listen, guys, I want to thank every single person very, very much who listened to our Bellator show last week. That was the highest Bellator show we've ever had. More listeners on a Bellator show than we ever had, so I thank you very much for listening. But that's not what we're here for, DJ Tony. I love the music. It's still running. I love it. All right, let's go to the star. I know, I loved it. It was great. Let's go to the star himself, the man who is deep in the heart of Texas. Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Ecuador, a Mr. Perfect Wrestling?
That's right.
No!
Have you not been listening to the show? Tony has been, I've been asking him to put the Mr. Perfect soundtrack to his life. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, God. Mr. Perfect. Shame. Shame.
What do you mean?
Oh, man.
I mean, he's Mr. Amp Radio. He's Mr. Amped versions of the press conferences, of the post-fight interviews. Come on, man. Give him his due.
Oh, God. Oh, man. let's touch on MMA. Hey.
All right. Tony, I can't believe it. You're throwing shade. Can't believe it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the card that is. Let's go to this card because it's very, very interesting, guys, and I think we're going to have a lot of things to speak about. I know Pam especially is probably going to go off once or twice tonight. So let's go, DJ Tony, to the lightweight division we go. I'd like to let this play a little bit, give it a little drama. All right, so your boy, Khabib Nurmi, the Eagle, 26-0-0, champion at 155. Coming in against your boy, Pam, who's been off for 2 years.
Yes.
Number one contender, apparently, Conor, the Notorious McGregor, fighting out of Ireland. Of course, 21-3-0. Pam, I'm going to throw straight to you so you can get all your vitriol out at the beginning of the show. What you got going on here?
Okay. let me have a drink of my sweet tea. Okay. So we've got, I guess, the fight of the century, you know, with Khabib Nurmagomedov and the C word. I'm going to refer to him as the C word, okay? You've got Khabib, 26-0, the C word, 21-3, 18 KOs, one sub two decisions, Khabib with and 10. You know, wrestling, sambo wrestler, he's a two-time world champion, sambo master, freestyle, versus the C word, who's apparently so godlike that they can't even list what he does. So I had to do some research, and the only thing I can find on him is he has a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. Has only fought 5 rounds one time, first time at one time at 155, hasn't fought in 2 years, never defended a belt, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You guys, I'm going with Khabib Nurmagomedov. What is that, Joe, what is that, what's his face say, Khabib? Joey Garcia, Joey Diaz.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Khabib. I'm going with Khabib with the third round TKO submission. I think
round.
The C word.
TKO submission?
Everybody
TKO
is.
Submission?
Well, I didn't know if it was considered
third round TKO
like,
is what you want to go with, right? Third
yeah.
round TKO.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
You've just finished work.
Yeah, but I yeah.
Shame on you, Tony.
But,
she just finished work. Shame on you.
Yeah, I'm just not sold on the hype, man. I'm just not sold on the hype, you know. And I caught like little snippets, and you know, who has Khabib fought? You know, his 26 and well, really, who has Conor fought? I mean, Dennis Seaver, really? Wow. Dustin Poirier 20 years ago, Max Holloway 20 years ago, he fought. What's his name? Eddie Alvarez, who looked like absolute dog poop that night. So. I just can't. So I'm going to Khabib.
Okay, fair enough. DJ Tony, I'm going to throw to you next. I thought I was going to get a bit more vitriol from Pam there, but
well,
I didn't
I'm
get it.
I'm being nice. I'm being nice because that shit gives you.
All right.
You know.
Maybe it'll come.
Just
yeah, it does. You're right.
I ain't about
right.
that life.
All right. I feel you. I feel you. Tony, let's
you ain't
going to
do
off,
nothing.
Man.
I'll
there
whoop
it
your
is.
Ass is what I'll do.
I love it. See, I knew we were going to be fired up. I mean, we're 10 minutes in, and we haven't even gotten to Tony yet to do his pick.
I used to be a Connor hater, but here's the thing. You can't say who has he fought any longer. He's fought some of the best, and unfortunately, he's going to fight Khabib, which I never thought he would take that fight. Honestly, I never thought he would take that fight. But he has beaten, at the time, the greatest featherweight I'd ever seen, which was Jose Aldo. Listen, I'm not going to say he's beaten Nate Diaz because I don't think he has. He KO'd Chad Mendes, KO'd Eddie Alvarez, KO'd Dustin Poirier, beat Max Holloway. Mind you, a young Max Holloway, but beat him. I think he's too calm right now, guys. And even though I'm rooting for Khabib, I think McGregor is going to do it. He's too calm. It is his space. Doesn't seem phased at all. 2-year layoff, and I still think he's going to KO Khabib in the second round, which it hurts me to say because I'm a bigger Khabib fan than I am a Conor fan, but I'm picking Conor McGregor, second round TKO.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's a possibility, right, Marco? I mean, we know that Conor McGregor is dangerous with his hands, and we know that Khabib likes to lead with his head sometimes. Marco, what you got?
So the conventional wisdom is that Khabib should win this fight, but then looking at the resume again, the best win on Khabib Nurmagomedov's resume is Rafael Dos Anjos, former champion. You know, he's fighting at 170 right now. After that, it's a little bit of a wasteland of people that are ranked. The second best win was Michael Johnson when he was ranked number 5, and of course, freaking Barboza. Mind you, you know, perennial contenders, but they never actually contended for a title. On McGregor's side, yeah, we're going to hate on him. He did beat a Max Holloway when joined his career, but he's an actual champion, so we see the caliber of fighter. And they fought at the same time that they came into the UFC, mind you. It's not like McGregor was an established fighter when he came into when he had that fight with Max Holloway. That was just his second fight, and he won that fight with a freaking broken leg, with a broken knee. He beat Chad Mendes. I got the fought for the title twice against Jose Aldo. Short notice. Guess what? It was short notice for freaking McGregor, too, because he wasn't preparing for Chad Mendes. He still won the fight. He knocked out Jose Aldo in 30 freaking seconds. At one time, the freaking consensus number one pound-for-pound fighter on the planet. And Eddie Alvarez, you know, never mind the fight that he got his two fights with Nate Diaz in between. He lost one, and he won the other one. You know, a lot of people say Nate won the decision. I don't agree with that. So the fight, I just saw the fight again this week because I'm reacquainting myself with these two fighters, and that was a close decision, but that was a McGregor decision. So people are going to be biased, but be fair.
Okay.
And still went against Eddie Alvarez on the biggest stage of the night. Eddie Alvarez has been a champion every single promotion he ever been on, and Conor was the underdog on the freaking fight. Remember that, too. And he is style on Eddie Alvarez. But people do not freaking shit on Eddie Alvarez because you see what Eddie Alvarez can do. I mean, you see the fight with Justin Gaethje, and you see the wars he has been into with Michael Chandler. So if you're shitting on Eddie Alvarez now, shame on you. That was a quality win to be the lightweight champion. Now, he went on his little hiatus. He did the boxing mask, won't make more money than God. Good for him, you know. If I was on Conor McGregor's shoes, I'd do the same shit if they're paying me $100 million to fight Floyd Mayweather. 2 years, I got a problem with it, but I don't think it's going to affect him too much. A lot of people in the conventional wisdom, the longer it goes, the worse for McGregor. I disagree with that, too. For Khabib to win the freaking championship, he won against the 11th ranked real estate agent, Ana Jaguenta. And the longer the fight went, the harder it was for Khabib to take Ana Jaguenta to the ground. And that is not, I mean, Khabib took the fight against him. I grant you that. I'm telling you, on the fight, the 11th ranked Ana Jaguenta went all fights with him, all 5 rounds, tough as nails. But just to make the long story short, I am feeling Conor. I mean, the line,
okay,
it's about right, you know, like Khabib is a slight favorite against Conor, but I think Conor is just a sniper, and he's going to be able to catch Khabib coming in, because for Khabib to do his thing, he has to take a hold of Conor. And we have seen Conor's mobility. He's accurate as hell. I mean, the same plan that Eddie Alvarez had. Eddie Alvarez wanted to wrestle with freaking Conor, and he wasn't able to because he was never able to close the gap. And I think that's what's going to happen. Conor is going to be able to touch Khabib on the face, and the more, you know, everybody have a game plan until you get punched in the face. And by the second round, I see a TKO coming. That left hand of
I don't know what he got in there. I mean, you know, Paul Daly got Semtex, fucking Conor got, I don't know, TNT, nuclear power. I don't know what he had in the left hand. But he touched you and people fall down. So I'm picking Conor McGregor with a second round TKO, and I want him to win because it's good for the sport. Surprise everybody, make everybody happy, and it's going to be awesome. And he may even set up a rematch later on in the future if the fight is entertaining.
Okay, so let me just give you the updated odds real quickly. I've just brought up five dimes right now. Conor McGregor at a plus 160, Marco, and Khabib coming back at us at a minus 170. So, I mean, the odds are razor close.
They've been moving from 140 to 160 and for Conor and 180 to 160, 150 to Khabib. So it can fluctuate back and forth. The big money is on Khabib. The small money is coming on Conor, you know, like the Irish Eric Tano.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to make sure that everybody notices. Look, I'm going to give you guys my honest thoughts here because I thought that this fight is very, very close. And I think it's for anybody who's paying attention to MMA besides the casual fan, I think we're all intrigued, right, Marco? We're all intrigued about this fight because, again, we bring up Chad Mendez, but you can't not give Conor McGregor his due. He has knocked down everybody they've put in front of him except for Nate Diaz once, twice. I agree with you, Tony. And you have to give him his due. You just do. And you have to give Khabib his due as well. And Marco, as we know, sometimes everybody's O has to go, and that's been very concerning for me. I remember back, Holly Holm was fighting, can't even think of her, Ronda Rousey. Yeah, that's right, Vegas Dave. And he bet on the winner on that fight. Everybody's O's got to go. So as I'm saying, guys, I think we have to take all of this into consideration. Can Khabib get in there past the long arms of Conor McGregor? Can McGregor sprawl fast enough? I mean, we've got Dylan Danis coming out on Embedded. You know, oh, I'm a better wrestler. I'm a better than Khabib. No, you're not, buddy. But thank you very much for hyping up your dude. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate it. It's going to be very interesting, guys. It's going to be a very high-level fight. And I just want to note that when MMA is actually exciting for all the hardcores and the casuals, you get a big thing like this. Maybe it's going to be big on pay-per-view. Maybe it's not. So let's stop doing things that nobody cares about. I cannot take Conor. I just can't do it. It's my bias. I'm gonna say right straight out, because of the whole New York event, because of the Bellator debacle that we saw him jump in the cage. No, I can't support him, and I have not ever picked him in a fight. And that's come to bite me in the ass a number of times. But I have to take Khabib. I have to bet on the superior wrestling. And then if Conor even spends a round underneath that fella, this fight is not – Conor's boxing game goes out the window. So it will depend, exactly like you guys are saying, on that first round. Can Khabib stay away from the left hand? Because, yeah, he's got fire in that left hand. And if Conor wins, I'm just going to go on the record and say it will be insufferable to be an MMA fan. Just saying. I don't need to talk about Proper 12 anymore or hear about it or see his face, to be honest. Khabib, I'm going to take Khabib. I'm going to take Khabib by third round TKO.
Shit, that's all you had to say.
That is all I had to say. Jeez. All right, anyways, let's
break out the red panties.
That's right. In the co-main event, DJ Tony, we go back to the light heavyweight division. We go. The lightweight division. Are you there?
Here for you. Play the record once a day or as needed.
There it is. Shouts out. I didn't hear the drop come in. I apologize. You can get rid of that, hopefully, in the post. So the lightweight division, we go. Your boy, Pamela. El Kuki. The Kuki. Tony Ferguson, number two. Tony Ferguson, fighting out of the United States of America, 25-3-0 against Pretty Tony Pettis. They call him Showtime. 21-7-0. Looking good as of late, let me tell you what. Do you believe the hype, DJ Tony, or do you think Tony Ferguson is going to get back right on track after, you know, having a pretty major surgery? What you got, DJ Tony?
Proteus, as the great UFC Tonight on Fox formerly just had the great DC and, of course, Kenny Florian talk about it's going to be Tony on Tony Prime, hence
wow.
the song. I'm going to say, Proteus,
Tony.
I'm picking Tony on this one. You know,
Marco's
going
to start booing you again.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Exactly. Guys, I'm thinking Tony Ferguson. Listen, there is a size difference,
right.
But for whatever reason, I just think Tony Ferguson works harder. I think they're both edgy. I think they both have an ego. They can both get caught. Pettis, Anthony Pettis, for whatever reason, just has been a shell of himself after all the testing. I'm not saying he was on anything. I'm just saying that
right.
maybe he just can't recover as quickly. Who knows? I'm thinking Tony Ferguson, guys. I'm thinking Tony Ferguson, some sort of TKO in the – let's go all three. Third round, TKO for Ferguson.
All right. All right. I got that down for you, DJ Tony. Marco, I mean, I have concerns. I have concerns, you know, pretty Tony Pettis. I have concerns for El Kakui as well because of the surgery. I mean, he's been out on the social media, you know, doing these crazy workouts, showing us that he's going to do it. What do you feel here? Because I have concerns.
Well,
let's
first recognize that Tony El Kukui Ferguson is freaking Wolverine. Because 5 months for recovering on a major knee surgery, so like, is he made of adamantium,
right.
man? What the hell, dude? I keep telling you people that I was there when Rafael Dos Anjos stole Anthony Pettis' soul in Dallas, Texas, you know, and because of those two, my baby get Angelica happened. But the reality is that ever since that fight where literally Rafael Dos Anjos stole Anthony Pettis' soul, Anthony Pettis did not fought the same after that fight. He was gun-shy, more hesitant. He will not engage. He will try to wrestle people. And finally, on this Michael Chiesa fight, he kind of sort of let loose a little bit. And we saw vintage Anthony Pettis, but that was
mm-hmm.
Michael Chiesa. And now, Tony Ferguson, man, he thrives on chaos, man. He even might give up the first round, but when he creates chaos, that is where he excels. So Anthony Pettis likes to a more systematic approach. That's to pick you apart from distance, but if you pressure him, he falls apart. And Tony Ferguson is exactly what he does, man. He gets right on your grill. He doesn't care if you punch him or not. I told you already, he's Wolverine. He doesn't feel pain. I'm picking Tony Ferguson, man. And it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be a brawny fight of the night. And this fight is my sleeper fight for fight of the night. And I'm going to pick Tony Ferguson by... you know, a weird scramble on the ground, a third choke on the third round. Tony Ferguson be a third round submission.
Okay. I've got you down for Darth as well. So if you call that Darth, then you get points for that as well. Listen, guys, this is another crazy fight. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I want to see from MMA. I spoke about it earlier on. This is the kind of meaningful fight that we need to see. And unfortunately, Ferguson had that freak injury happen before, you know, he could show up to the last fight. And yeah, he's a freak, Marco. I don't know how he's recovered from such a major surgery in such a short period of time. Stem cell therapy is, you know, breaking all kinds of barriers. And of course, as you mentioned, he's very dedicated. Now, having said that, we've always had problems with Pretty Tony. You know, Pretty Tony has a guy for everything, right, Marco? As our boys from the CMEU like to say, he's got a guy for everything. Maybe he was getting away from what he wanted to do. I don't know. I've been flip-flopping on Anthony Pettis for a long period of time because back in the day, you know, the WEC days, that's he was an exciting fighter. You wanted to watch an Anthony Pettis fight. And, of course, we get to the Wheaties box days and looks great in his past couple of fights. And Tony Ferguson having that surgery. But obviously I've bet against Tony, I think, every single time he's been in the fight, and I'm going to do it again. I just think that I'm taking the Kool-Aid on Pettis on this one. I really am. He's got a lot on his plate, and a lot of people, you know, wanted to interview him and shit, but I think he's getting it dialed in, and this is going to be a tough fight. If it goes to the ground, both these guys got what it takes to be on the ground. And Marco, you're right. Ferguson could pull off some fucking strange thing in a scramble, and Darce in a scramble, and two top fights are so well matched. I'm going to take Pettis, though. I'm going to take him in a second round submission. All right, Pamela, it's your turn. Your guy.
All right, it's Tony time, bitches.
It's Tony time, bitches.
Oh, man, you know what? This fight is going to be so much fun. I'm actually looking more forward to this fight than the other fight. Tony Ferguson, Anthony Pettis, what do you call him? El Kuki? El Kukuli. Dynamic. Their records, Tony Ferguson, 10 KOs, 8 subs, 5 decisions. Anthony Pettis, 9 KOs, 8 subs, 4 decisions. I mean, so close. Their reach, Tony Ferguson, 76-40, Anthony Pettis, 72-40. But the one thing, Pettis is 5 of 5 in his last 10, 5 wins, 5 losses. Has a submission win over Charles Oliveira in 2016. Tony is coming up, he's on a 10-win streak, his last 10 fights has won 6 of those by submission. So his last loss was in 2012. This dude is going to be all over Anthony Pettis like a spider monkey. So the one thing about El Kukui, he's got the 3 C's, man. He's creative, he's got cardio, and he's crazy. He doesn't know karate, he knows crazy. And I'm going with Tony Ferguson with the second round submission.
Okay.
You got knocked the fuck out, man!
Look, like you said, Pam, I think this is an intriguing fight. I said that as well in my rant as well, but I think this is, when we see high-level, good MMA, this is what we want to see, right, Pam? This is the kind of stuff.
This, like I say, this is the fight that I am looking forward to seeing. I mean, if it is as good in the octagon as it is on paper, this is going to be amazing.
Right on, right on. I agree with you 100%. DJ Tony, let's go ahead and move on to the light heavyweight division we go. Pam's boy again.
I do. Oh, wait.
St. Prue. Oh, God. Going against Dominic Reyes. And I'm just waiting for my computer to reload again so I don't sound stupid. Sorry, guys. There it is. Thank you, DJ Tony, for cueing the music. Number 7, Old Vince St. Prue, fighting out of the United States of America, 22-11-0, against your boy, number 12. Dominic Reyes, the Devastator, from also fighting out of the United States of America, 9-0-0. Marco, I go to you for this one. What you got?
You don't we OSP, you know me? I know that we OSP on this one. The days of OSP being a prospect are gone. He's the veteran now. And I think we already see the ceiling of OSP. He's the gatekeeper to the stars, man. He wins some. You lose some. Sometimes will surprise you, and sometimes he will shut the bed. All the smart money is with this newcomer, this young buck, Dominic Reyes, that got 8 knockouts on his 9 wins, man, all on the first round. And the guy, true to his nickname, is a devastator. I want to go with the young blood, man. We need some overthrown on the top of the light heavyweight division, you know. We hear some movement on the middleweight, we hear some movement on welterweight, and all the other divisions, even on heavyweight, we have seen some new faces. It's time for the light heavyweights to get new, fresh faces, and I think Dominic Reyes got what it takes. It's a big fight for Dominic Reyes. It's the first time he faces a name guy. Like I say, OSP is not a prospect anymore. We know about him, and we know what he is. If it goes to the ground, all bets are off, because OSP is really, really good on the ground, you know. He got those weird sub-pru chokes, and chokes from weird angles and stuff. But if he stayed on the feet, I'm going to give it to Dominic Reyes. So I'm going to pick Dominic Reyes. My first round knockout, staying true to form,
Pepe Bastero making a big splash in the light heavyweight division and becoming the newest contender on that division.
I agree. Before we get to my comments, Marco, I forgot to give the odds for Anthony Pettis versus Tony Ferguson from Five Dimes. Anthony Pettis at a plus 310. Tony Ferguson rising on money apparently right now at a minus 370. Going to Dominic Reyes. Sorry?
Very telling how the odds makers are seeing that fight. Very, very telling.
Let me move on to give you guys the odds real quickly. Dominic Reyes coming in at a minus 230. So the odds makers seem to agree with Marco against OSP. Yeah, you know me, at a plus 190. Look, when I was thinking about this fight, Marco, I was agreeing with everything that you have to say. This is a big step up for Reyes. It's going to be a big name guy. All of the things that you said, they come into play here. Absolutely, 100%. And anybody who's listened to this show knows that, you know, when we've done this weekend in MMA to close out a show, when Dominic Reyes is on the show, I've been impressed with him. How can you not be impressed with him? Like you said, Marco, true to form, first round KOs. I mean, two of his last three fights, first round, KO, TKO. Yeah, he had one submission, and he looked that. I mean, all three of those wins have looked fantastic. It's going to be hard for me. OSP has been around. Yeah, like you say, he's not quite. I don't know. Maybe he is a gatekeeper, Marco. I don't know. I don't know if that's his role yet. He's been surprising me as of late. He's looked good as of late. And Dominic Reyes is up against it. I think I'm going to agree with you, though. I think I'm going to take Reyes as well. I'm going to take a KO as well, but I'm going to take it in the second. I think there's a feeling out process in the first by these two guys. Light heavyweight division does need this, Marco. You're right. Reyes by second round KO for me. Pam, let's throw it to you. What you got?
What?
Your boy. What you got?
This fight. You know what? OSP. I can't be down with OSP. You know me? Every time I pick him,
crazy,
he loses. Every time I don't pick him, he wins. So every time he falls. So I'm going with Dominic Reyes on this. I was kind of questioning a little bit his fight resume and his cardio. He does have eight of his wins are in the first round. So I'm a little bit questioning his cardio. But like I say, with Ovin, I can say he's Uriah Hall 2.0, you know, bigger and stronger. And you don't ever know who's going to show up. And like I say, he screws me every time. So he's 5 of 5 of his last 10. So when he's on, he is on. But when he's off, he is off. So I had to do a little bit of digging on Dominic Reyes because I couldn't find anything. But as well as jiu-jitsu, he's a blue belt. He also is a boxer, does kickboxing and judo. So he's not just a semi-pretty face.
Right.
He is taller, but Ovince St. Preux does have the longer reach still. But I'm going to go with him. I'm taking him first round KO. KO,
okay.
TKO.
Tony, Pam brings up good points. Marco brings up good points. You know, is Ovince going to be able to take advantage? I think Ovince actually has moved to a bigger camp now, and maybe he could take advantage of that. I mean, it was one of those things that I thought about Ovince that he needed to do. Do you think the young up-and-comer, 9-0, can get it done against the grizzled veteran in OSP?
Here's the tough part. And, Pam, I've used that line before, right? No doubt about it. OSP and Uriah Hall, to me, are the MMA two-faced. One day they look good. Next day they don't look good.
Like Batman.
They're that sort of exactly like Batman. He is the MMA two-faced.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
That's right.
Aggressive.
I called.
You ain't
Dominic
got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie.
Okay, I didn't call him. But I wanted to call Dominic Reyes. And I was going to ask him. And Pam stole this line from me. Pam, great job, by the way. I wanted to call Dominic Reyes and say, hey, are you down with OSP? And he said, yeah, you know me. But the tough part is, guys, that I can't get past is it's tough to go 10-0. It really is. Think about everyone that has had the opportunity to go 10-0, whether it's Cat, whether it's Holly. Something always happens. And you know what?
this kid, Dominic Reyes, I think he's a real thing. I do think he's going to be an injection of surprise somewhere down the line. But OSP doesn't lose to these type of guys. He loses to guys that he should beat, but he doesn't lose to these guys. So I think we saw him fight someone a lot like Dominic Reyes and Tyson Pedro, and he beat Tyson Pedro. They're very similar. Tall, lanky, powerful. So I think OSP is going to do his streak, win one more, and then lose another three straight. So I'm picking OSP with I'm going to say it, guys.
All right.
The Von Proof. OSP with the Von Proof. In second round.
All right. Okay, I think Tony, I have to comment on one thing. I don't know if Dominic Reyes is Tyson Pedro. I just have to say that. And this fight will definitely tell us whether or not he's, a guy that we need to keep paying attention to. Go ahead, Marco.
Just a caveat. If anybody in the light heavyweight division is stupid enough to try to guillotine Owen Sanpruh, knowing that he got that Sanpruh choke on his freaking butt pocket, you're stupid. No guillotines on top.
They deserve to get Von Flued, right?
Yeah, no guillotines against Von Flued. You should already know that.
Yeah,
Von Flued.
All right.
OSP'd, yeah.
You are correct.
I agree.
All right. Thank you, DJ Tony. To the heavyweight division we go. Look at that seamless action. I love it. Number two, Derek the Black Beast Lewis fighting in the United States of America. 25-0 with one no contest against. Number five, Alexander Drago Volkov, fighting out of Russia, 29-6-0. Marco, I have to throw to you on this one because this is a big fight, Marco. It's a big fight for Derek Lewis. I think let's just hear what you have to say. What you got on this one, brother?
First of all, the Black Beast promised that he's going to go all out on the first round, and people do not complain if he gets out because he's going to try to finish this fight. I cannot support this Russian man. I mean, Black Beast is on the doorsteps of freaking title contention. The guy is from Texas, for crying out loud. He's in Houston, and he got the power to knock anybody out in the heavyweight division. Hopefully, his back issues are taken care of. They said it's hit or miss with his back right now. I mean, they've been treating it with stem cells, so he has been feeling better. He came out a little bit leaner for this fight. As of right now, he weighs 270 pounds. He only had to put 5 pounds tomorrow to make 265. So he's going to be the bigger guy. You know what? Volkov is talented as hell. I got to recognize that. The guy is a technician. He's a good striker. I still got that fight with Czech Congo in my head on Bellator, with the Czech Congo wrestle fucking
Yeah.
game. But that is a thing of the past. I mean, the guy has been flawless ever since. But I've seen Lewis at something to prove he likes to entertain. He got fight-changing power as anybody that has been knocked out by Derek Lewis. Once the guy touches you with intent, the fight is basically over. And I think he's going to be able to connect.
Okay.
I'm going to take his word for it. He's going to be on the first round. It's going to be a crazy exchange. He's going to touch Drago on the face, and Drago's going to get the stinky leg, and then Lewis is going to go for the kill and just finish the fight and do his patented Black BS celebration in the middle of the floor and be the number one contender. How about that? Give me Derek Lewis, first round knockout.
First thing I just have to say about that, we haven't seen that celebration in a while, and that last fight, as you mentioned, was very poor. Let me give you guys the odds here real quickly. Alexander Volkov at a -170 against Derek Lewis at a +150. Of course, as I mentioned at the top, all of these numbers coming from Five Dimes. Hemi, what you got going on here, brother?
Yep, Bruce.
Sister.
Ay, Dios mío. Okay.
I don't think so.
I love Derek Lewis. I love his Instagram page. I love his Twitter. I think he's funny. This dude's got KO power. He's got 17 KOs. One submission, two decisions, three KO losses. I question his cardio. How's his cardio? How's his health? He has won 8 of his last 10 fights, 6 of them by KO, TKO. But you're going to Alexander Volkov, OV, and great striking, jiu-jitsu. I think he has better cardio. I think he has better agility. I think he is healthier. This dude, 20 KO, 3 subs, 7 decisions. So the records are pretty similar. And I just think that he is just a little bit more technical and a little bit more refined as far as as far as fighting style goes. I am picking him. I think he's going to tire Derek Lewis out. I'm taking Volkov with third round TKO.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, man. Somebody else, after Pam did that helium thing, somebody else put a helium balloon thing on Twitter. I was like, we did this already, man. Get over
I
it.
I know, right?
Right.
All right. Let me...
Oh, that was a good show. If you didn't hear that show, go back and check it out. Pam was on helium. It was fun. It was right after her birthday. So, correctamundo. My pick right here, guys, again, I think what Pam is saying with Lewis's and I know, Marco, you got a bit of Texas bias going on there. And, you know, sometimes that always happens. Well, it doesn't always happen, but sometimes it happens. You know, we get close to a fighter or he's you know, he means something to us or she means something to us, and we need to root for them. I think that Pam is right that Volkov, or as we like to say on the show, the OV, is going to get this done. I think I agree exactly with what Pam has been saying, that Volkov is the more technical fighter. He's going to stay – he's going to prove that he's what he's done all this time. He doesn't rush in. He stays out. Yeah, it's a Czech Congo thing.
Is it Russian?
Oh, ba-doop-boom. Pam with the joke.
Where's my drum thing?
Chingazos. Chingazos indeed.
That's right.
All right. Okay. All right.
Russian.
I was hoping for some heckling there because I needed it. I needed it.
Yes, it's Russian. Shame on you. Shame on you. America.
Anyways, I'm going to take the OV. I'm going to take on my second round TKO. Tony, what you got here?
Pam and I were thinking the same thing. Rush in. Rush
oh, did you?
he texted it to me just after you said it. Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, perfect.
I honestly don't think that Volkov can beat Derek Lewis, and I'll tell you why. If you look at who Derek Lewis has fought, especially when he fights tall guys, don't forget he beat Honda Halsey's husband quite convincingly, right? And say what you want to say about Travis Brown, he can kick. He's more athletic than Alexander Volkov. They're both 6'7".
Really?
But he's a lot more. Oh, yeah. I think Travis Brown is extremely athletic. He played basketball. He's actually an extremely athletic, Travis Brown. The only time he fought and lost to a bigger guy was Mark Hunt, right? He beat Marcin Tybura, who was no joke. He was on a
Mike?
Run. No relation to the great Mike. Obviously, we know what happened with Francis Ngannou, but you know what? I'd fight him the same way. I would not want to be hit by Francis Ngannou. There's no doubt about it, but I think somehow Derek Lewis always gets it done when he needs to, guys. He may never be a title contender, although, frankly, I mean, we need something, right? So I'm picking Derek Lewis. Yeah, I'm a huge Derek Lewis fan, but I'm picking Derek Lewis, guys, and I think he's going to get it done second round. TKO, I do think he's going to gas out in the first, but he's going to hurt Volkov. Early in the second round, I think he's going to finish Volkov. Derek Lewis, second round, TKO.
Because America.
All right, all right.
Because
of America. America. All right, guys, so listen, that's going to ramp up that our fights for that particular card. I want to do Spotlight for the night because we've only got 9 minutes left, so we're going to have no time for news. I knew this was going to be a long show. So, Tony, let's go to you. Let's throw to you for your everybody's favorite segment, hashtag Spotlight Fight of the Night.
You know, like Marco, I too was doing research on Michelle Waterson.
watching Fight Girls and Gush. Michelle Waterson with long hair, son of a gun. She is something special. So my spotlight fight will not be the lovely Michelle Waterson fighting Felice Herrig. It will be, hold your horses, Yana Kunitskaya. You definitely want to watch out for the face-off there.
Oh,
Yana Kunitskaya will defeat Lena Landsberg. And let's just say second-round sub, Yana Kunitskaya.
All right. I mean, you talked about two of my fights that I might put in my spotlight fight of the night. I'm going to go last on this one, though.
Wait, you get looking.
Yeah, indeed they are. Okay, Pamela, let's throw to you. Maybe we can clean this show up a bit. What you think?
Without kissing my cock.
Oh, what?
I am going with Tanya Ebinger, Aspen Ladd for my spotlight.
Okay.
And I'm picking Tanya Ebinger with the second round submission.
Yeah, I mean,
show,
like,
thank you very much.
Thank you, Margaret, for beating me to it. Friend of the show. And if you guys didn't hear it, if you're new to the show, please go back in the archives. We interviewed Tanya, and she's a great interviewer.
How cool was she? How fun was she?
She was
fun.
Super cool, man. Yeah, she was great. I mean, these fighters, I haven't come across too many that haven't been, you know, haven't been great. So, Marco, what do you have to say?
I was really going to pull my veto power for anybody that pick against Tanya Ebinger, because she's our girl, friend of the show.
Yeah.
So go Tanya Ebinger.
Absolutely.
That's
I think
right.
Everybody's gone the same round, same pick as that. Pam, what was the round and method, please?
A second round submission for me, please.
Marco, why don't you go next? Give us your spotlight fight of the night, please.
Since we didn't talk about it and it's still on the main card, and to keep the female tone on this spoiler fight, I'm going to pick the Michelle Waterson versus Beth Rollins freaking fight. Talk about the Battle of the Hotties, you know. Michelle Waterson, we all know, former Invicta Atomweight champion. I still believe she's too undersized for the division. Beth Rollins is a strong girl. She's like bricked up like a little tank there on a 115. So I'm going to pick Beth Rollins with a three-round unanimous decision for Beth Rollins.
Yeah, I you mean Felice Herrig, right?
Felice Herrig. I can't get those two girls mixed up. Don't know why. Yes, Felice Herrig.
Right.
Felice Herrig with all her...
You're spending too much time on your couch.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Excuse me, bitch.
With all her lingerie freaking pictures from the past, yeah, Felice Herrig. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We knew what you were talking about. We knew that you were saying incorrect person. That's fine. It's no big deal. Round and method, please.
Three-round decision. I already told you. 30-27.
Okay. I missed it because everybody decided to do drops and speak over you, so I missed it. I apologize.
Who did you pick? I didn't hear. Michelle?
I haven't done it yet.
Felice
Herrig. Okay, I gotcha.
Decision. Everybody clear on that now?
Everybody got it.
Who the fuck is that guy?
All right, I'm going to throw it on my spotlight fight of the night to Gray Maynard versus what? I'm going to throw it to not Russian. I didn't say Russian again. I love all the ball busting that goes on this show. You guys are great. All right, I'm going
to
go with my spotlight fight of the night. Gray Maynard versus Nick Lentz. I just think this is an old school kind of fight. You know, if you're an old school fan, it's buried on the early prelims on Fight Pass. Gray Maynard is, you know, one of those guys that he was a star for a while. And Nick Lentz, of course, same kind of thing, the carny. I'm going to go with Gray on this one. I think Nick is a great fighter, but Gray's got that knockout power. So I'm going to go with Gray second round. TKO.
Bobby Knuckles.
All right, Marco, we've got 4 minutes. Let's throw to a little bit of news real quickly. The press conference is just fresh off our minds. Quickly to recap for anybody who did not see the press conference, Conor McGregor did not show up for 25 minutes into the press conference. Khabib Nurmagomedov left after 15 minutes or so after you know, the media didn't have many more questions for him. Then Dana White had to take on the press conference for about 10 minutes. And let me give you a couple of quotes from Dana White here. I like to suck Conor McGregor's cock. And these things happen. These things happen. I don't know, Marco, if I've ever seen these kinds of things happen. Conor McGregor shows up 25 minutes late. Somebody leaves, says they want to start the press conference on time, which is within the champion's full right. What do you got going on here? We got 3 minutes, Marco. We got to wrap this up. What you got real quick?
So I watched his press conference, and, you know, interesting. I like the fact that we have a crowd this time.
Right.
You can feel the buzz now, you know. I mean, Conor McGregor is going to Conor McGregor. He's going to be late. But I've seen, in a way, it kind of work out for Khabib not having to interact with Conor, you know, after the 15 minutes that he was supposed to be there, he just took off and left. And that is good.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have to, like, feel the vitriol of Conor and the hostile crowd, because it was a very pro-Conor crowd. Let's not freaking out. You know, like, tiptoe around it, man. This fight is getting big. I mean, last night on ESPN2 and ESPN proper, they got a countdown show, a one-hour countdown show on ESPN, not on Fox, mind you. The coverage on ESPN has been wall-to-wall for this press conference, you know, with Ariel Helwani before the press conference, and then having Stephen A. Smith interview Dana White after the Federal Sports Center. It's going to ramp up. And I like it, man. I like this big fight feeling. So let's enjoy it for what it is. Whoever you're rooting for, I don't care. Let's enjoy it, because moments like this for our sport don't come out too often. It comes with Conor McGregor, and the spoiler that he put on our sport, the sport that we love watching, guys, is a good thing for us to put more casuals to watch the sport, the sport that we love and talk about every weekend. So enjoy the big fight feeling and just enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I don't know, Marco, if that makes much sense, because the casual fan isn't tuning in for more than 3 seconds if they didn't see Conor McGregor. I think this hurt a lot. I think you could see it in Dana White's eyes. I think you could, you know, see it in the way that he was responding to questions. I mean, once Conor McGregor didn't show up and Khabib left, they just had one option left, DJ Tony. And I don't know if you agree with me, but this did not look great. Yes, it's going to look great when it's edited down and Conor McGregor comes out all coke-fueled again. I mean, this guy, I know that cocaine gets out of the system fast, but this guy seems like he's on coke all the time. He comes out on this particular press conference all jacked up. His eyes are glistening like crazy. I've done cocaine before, as I've said in the previous shows. I think this guy's just doing tons of that stuff. I think it's going to be a great fight, but I just don't think that this press conference was a win. Tony, what you got?
They're getting coverage everywhere else, guys. And even though the hardcores are going to say this is a travesty, et cetera, we know he's going to be late every single time, but he's getting coverage everywhere else. So I don't think this is going to do 2 million. I don't think it's going to do 3 million. I think it'll do a little over a million.
Right.
But this is still going to sell. So, you know, like him, hate him, whatever. The casual fans love Conor McGregor. Heck, Conan O'Brien loves Conor McGregor. He was on the show yesterday.
Sure.
So they're going to do numbers.
Yeah. But I mean, and they're good. Pam, I'm going to throw to you, but I'm just going to say something real quick. I think they definitely thought that they needed to spin this in the correct division or correct direction. I think they did that very, very fast. If you watch the press conference, they actually took Khabib's table and everything down, so it didn't look as bad as it might have looked on TV with that whole empty area there. I thought that was very smart, and then they focused in on sucking Conor's cock a little bit more with his whiskey, Pam. I mean, you've heard what our comments were on this. I mean, Conor McGregor shows up late for a press conference yet again. Khabib leaves. I think that's within his right as a champion to not be held off doing his weight cut. We know, Pam, that sometimes Khabib has a rough time with his weight cut. So what is your point of view on the press conference, quickly?
You know, I don't care, because it's all generated towards Conor. It doesn't matter who he's fighting. It's all towards him. So I really don't give a shit. be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty evident right now that, you know, the media and the promotion is definitely relying on Conor McGregor. Okay, guys, here we go. Here are the results from last week's Smack My Picks Up. As I mentioned, very, very close week, and the only thing that set it apart, Pam would have gotten the win had Marco.
Man.
Yeah, Marco got you know, Pico, and he got the TKO, and that's what saved him on that particular fight. The Melendez fight, we all picked Karrion. Nobody got that right. We all picked Lima. Nobody got any of that right. The Quinton fight was split, but nobody got the method right. And Musasi, other than Tony, who had a terrible week, nobody got the finish right on that one either. So Pam and Marco, you guys are tied. It is a draw. I know it's anticlimactic, but unfortunately, we carry it over to next week.
A draw.
DJ Tony.
I want a recount.
Go ahead.
I want a recount.
Yeah, a draw. I know.
I demand
right?
a recount.
Well, I tell you what, I can show you. I'll send you the picture of the of my note.
I will set boobs Trump. So it's mine.
That's okay. We'll duke it out next week, and I will take
absolutely.
My
everything will be on the line next week because you know what? Everybody, besides the Ferguson fight and the Conor fight, I think everybody in Tony picked OSP. I think it's going to be a close week again, so we'll see what happens, guys. It's fun to pay attention, and I think you guys are wanting to pay attention to this stuff. But let's go ahead and throw to Pam. You got a Twitter follow? You got a guilty pleasure of the week? What you got, Pam?
I'm still doing my guilty pleasure of 90 Day Fiancé because it's such a train wreck. And I've been actually working on a Halloween quilt, so I've been busy here.
Oh.
So no Twitter follow, just 90 Day Fiancé. Awesome train wreck.
All right, all right. DJ Tony, what you got for me? You got a Twitter follow?
You know, the obvious thing would be to follow Michelle Watterson at Karate Hottie MMA. Which is fantastic, by the way. Beautiful woman. But I'm going to give you a surprise. Again, you have to look at Yana Kunitskaya when she's dressed up. At Yana Kunitskaya, shout out to, I think it's Extreme Couture. I think she trains out of there. So at Yana Kunitskaya, my guilty pleasure still, Ozark Season 2. Good Lord, I'm happy through it. Can't get enough. So shout out to them.
Yeah, I have not. I've not been able to move fast on Ozark because it gives me too much stress and makes me sweat. My shout out goes out to my Twitter follow is at Nova Cub Music for all our British fans. Tomorrow, they have a show at Lexington at 9 p.m. Go and check them out. They're awesome. I've been enjoying all of their demos. They sent me one special. I don't know what I did to deserve that, but thank you guys very much. So at Nova Cub Music, and if you're in the UK, go check them out. Marco, get us out of here. What you got?
So my guilty pleasure lately has been the series Arrow, you know, on Netflix. Because, you know, I like the superheroes freaking series. Don't judge me. Don't blood judge me. Also, check out the new Joe Rogan special on Netflix, Strange Days. It's funny as hell.
I almost spit water out my mouth. Out my nose. I almost spit water out my nose. My wife loved it. She said it was the best time we had together in a while. So
it's one of the best comedy specials they have on Netflix in a minute.
It's good.
Joe Rogan is hilarious. I've seen Joe Rogan live several times because, you know, I used to go to the fights all the time. I will go to the night prior to the shows. So it's well worth your time. Follow Pandora Box. Follow Twitter at Iron DJ Tony. Follow Producer at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. We are on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher. Rate and review as Naco Chris. Subscribe. Tell a friend. Tell your mom. Tell your buddies. You know, big week of fights. Freaking probably the biggest fight of the year, if not of a long time in MMA. It's going to be an event. Just sit down and watch, make a house. But whatever you need to do, watch this fight. We're going to release you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
Just like that, Pammy.
We are out of here.
We out.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.